For May the 5th, 2023, we talk about Redfall, Rusted Moss, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and much more. Welcome to Level 456. My name is Cole Rouse.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Here in May, first episode of May, we're entering the weird little news dead zone for games and stuff. So we might as well talk about our, personal lives. Since everybody was here last time, I don't have anybody to go to. Would you guys believe that I still don't have my car back?
No.
I would.
Are they just keeping it? Like, did you get civil asset forfeiture?
Nope. Yeah. No. It's just a...
They're sending it by horse.
It took so it took 18 days to get from Milwaukee over to the body shop. Where they're supposed to be working on it. And if the person that I have called is to be believed, it's been in disassembly, i.e. up on a lift and getting an estimate for the past 2 weeks.
Jeez.
I mean, I had thought it was just totaled. I didn't realize they're actually trying to repair it or whatever.
No, that would make sense is the thing. No, yeah, they're going to repair it, which apparently entails me paying a lease on this car that for months where I'm just not driving it, which is real fun. Yeah, no, had to take the rental car back today because... your insurance, or at least my insurance, only covers 30 days of rental on that, which should be fine, but is not enough, not sufficient.
So where do you think it actually is?
I have no idea. I drove by the shop a couple of days ago, just to see, like, is it in the parking lot out front? Like, is it in the lot kind of off to the side that's fenced in? And just like, hey, what's the deal here? Couldn't find it. Didn't see it. But yeah, no, I had to switch over and borrow the car from my mom. And it's like, there's just no indication of when or if ever I'm going to get this back. So
they're going to get it back, but it will be a different color. not like completely different, just like a shade or two off.
Yeah.
And you'll never be able to be sure.
What were we going to say,
what
Ben?
The Kia boys are doing now?
Yeah, that's my theory, is that it just keeps getting stolen over and over again.
Go ahead.
I was going to interject and bitch about insurance and be like, the point of insurance is so that you have like reasonable expectations and don't have to worry about these like outlier situations. Uh-huh. But I love how like after 30 days, they're like, oh, no, sorry, we didn't plan on that. So you're going to have to turn the car back in.
No, like, this is over with. Later, bye.
Yeah. It's like, isn't this the risk that you're absorbing when I pay you money?
Yeah. Kind of.
No, that's how this works.
Especially since that, I don't know, because everything is a combination supply chain labor problem. It's just like, conditions changed. Maybe the 30 day hold or whatever made sense. It's at some point, doesn't now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, I'm pretty pissed off actually, in a way that I only have the luxury to be now that I am home and, you know, not very far away from home. Like, I could be pissed off about it in Milwaukee because we got a problem to solve. Now I am here and time has passed. I am now starting to get a little pissy about it.
My headcanon is they're just so backed up with stolen Kias that need to be refurbished.
Well, that's part of my worry, because this is just for the estimate. This is not for anything related to like, hey, this is when it's going to be done. You know, I was talking to my adjuster about it and he said, yeah, no, some of these repairs are taking 2-3 months to finish.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't plan on like, you know, living.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, so at so many times during this, just when I've had to like go and be places or whatever, I've got no idea how somebody with a normal job lives, how somebody with a wife and kids in a place that they have to be every day for many hours, like
I mean, generally speaking, I think they just don't.
Yeah.
Like, this is America.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, man, if this is stressing me out and just like the, I got nowhere to be. It's nice to have a car because I like being able to go and get stuff. But like, you know, sorry. Like I said, I'm getting a little pissy. So that's my story. Ben, you usually have cool stuff. Cheer us up.
All right. I got a weird insular story. I'm glad that I didn't go first, by the way, because this would have been a weird segue with what we were talking about before we started recording. But I'm making a pie hole. It's a Raspberry Pi, and you add a little tiny program on it, and it basically has a list of ad domains, and it'll basically reject any request for an ad domain. And so what it does in practice is it's like a ad blocker, but it's for your entire network instead of like a browser.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So like, where do you pull a list from? Is that like a GitHub repository that is updated or
the program and like the default list that you have is like both public stuff. But you can update it if you want, if there's like specific things you want to block. But from what I've heard, like the default one's good. I looked up information on this like a week or two ago, but the big blocker was like, it's really fucking hard to get a Raspberry Pi right now. I was surprised by this. I didn't know this at all, but there's like a website called like Pi Tracker where it's like, you can see like these 7 stores in the world that have them and try and buy them. But like, it's like might be in Switzerland and you have to buy like 5 and it might not be the right model and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But luckily, I went to a German-speaking group and found a person who has one who wasn't using it. So I bought it off of him for a reasonable price. And so now the pie hole is unblocked.
So I've got to say, can
we not?
Back alley German pie hole?
Yeah. Yeah. Go on.
I think that's self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. Sounds like the best damn restaurant there's ever been. Where else are you going to get German pies? Come on. Especially the illegal ones.
Yeah.
I imagine Ben like having someone over and be like, hey, you want to see my pie hole?
Silver lining, this will open the gates for me getting a modern operating system.
Ooh. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you need another one, I have a Raspberry Pi that I got to mess around with the emulator stuff. But it was several years ago. It was like I think 6 or 8 years ago. It was like a Raspberry Pi 3. So I don't know how often they're updated.
I think they switched to letters now. I got a
was back when Pi was just like 2.14.
Right. No, it's a Raspberry Pi 3, like when Iowa passed that law to declare that Pi is 3.
Man, so many math jokes. I'm so happy to be here right now, but
yeah. Oh my gosh. No, sorry, it was Alabama. I really didn't want to
Yep.
Yeah.
Have we discussed that Alabama's trying to bring back separate but equal?
I mean, I think it goes without saying. I'm sorry to say about the state where you have chosen to make a home.
Oh, no. Literally, their new anti-trans law contains the exact phrase, when it comes to sexuality, separate is not inherently unequal.
Huh.
Or when it comes to sex, rather.
Yeah, no. That is a real bummer.
Yeah. I mean, these are all being written by idiots. I saw as well that some legislation was trying to define a woman as someone who produces an ovum,
takes
out plenty of cis women as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I really want to see the movie where like someone has, you know, a woman has a, I'm not sure what it is, something ectomy, and then realizes that she is like no longer legally male or female and no longer is within the law and can do whatever she wants.
This update to Hedwig and the Angry Inch is really weird. Oh my God. Well, cool. I hope that your ad blocking thing works.
Same.
Yeah.
Can you... I feel like the next step would be if you could make one that somehow redirects them all to someone else you don't like.
I say the opposite of a silver lining is it breaks like some websites, like specifically like I think like Paramount Plus or something like that. Like the websites that are smart enough to like guarantee that you've seen an ad.
Right. But, can you whitelist in those cases?
Yeah, you can. Nice. It's.
Hmm. Let's see here. David, how about you? What's going on?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I actually did anything particularly interesting like in the last week or whatever. So I guess I'm just going to wish everyone a happy May Day.
Yeah. Solidarity, especially with the Writers Guild of America.
Yeah, that's super crazy. Well, and also France is having some crazy.
No, people are losing their eyes to riot munitions. Yeah, just a bunch of you know, it's a time when a bunch of people on my Twitter timeline are like, "Oh, I've been tear gassed." Yeah, no, it's gonna happen. Shouldn't, but it is, and I'm happy that they're out there reporting on that stuff because it's real important.
My one hope is, my one silver lining is the last writer's strike gave us Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
It also saved Jesse Pinkman's life.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, he was supposed to die at the end of Breaking Bad season one.
But that's right.
Yeah.
God, that writer's strike is so long ago. Like, in my head, it was fairly recent. But yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, we were in college. Because
it was actually like the last time I lived here. So
the last time I had a TV show I wanted to watch.
Oh, man. But yes, solidarity. How about you, Dennis?
Oh, let's see. It's been a fun week. I went camping over the weekend. I touched grass.
Yeah, it was miserably cold and rainy, wasn't it?
It wasn't. And that's the crazy thing. It was calling for miserable and rainy all the way from like 2 weeks out. And then the last couple of days, it was just like, well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe yes, but maybe not.
Hey.
And so in practice, it was actually, a little bit crisp. Felt kind of like a fall getaway.
Mm-hmm.
But no rain except for one time overnight when everyone was already kind of sleeping in tents. So.
Mm-hmm.
As good as I could have hoped for weather to go.
Great.
But I was reminded, so this is through my church and you kind of go to the same piece of land, every time. This was a couple's deal. So I went with Jen, and I walked past my tree and I was trying to remember, have I told you guys about my tree on this land?
No.
Go on.
So one of the times I was there, usually like the weekend includes some like working the land, clearing trails or brush or, you know, doing whatever. And one of the times I went, I was helping clear this like copse of trees that was kind of out away from the main tree line. So they had one person that had like the chainsaw who was like, you know, chainsaw certified or something. I don't know. What do you need to operate a chainsaw?
Gloves,
guts.
Glasses,
okay.
Special clothing and that won't get that won't snag.
Yeah. Special clothing that's flannel, I think, is the correct answer. Anyway, so it was that person was cutting down the trees, and then the rest of us were kind of like, it was like 20 guys picking up the trees and walking them over to an area where they were getting taken apart, and it was a whole like assembly line thing. And we're cutting through it, and me and my buddy are like joking around. And we get down to the last one and we were just in the middle of goofing off. And I was like, no, leave this one as an example to the others of what happens if you get out of line. And Chainsaw Guy was standing right behind me. He's like, okay. And heads off. I guess I said it with enough authority that he believed that I was the guy who knew what trees were supposed to stay. No one ever cut down that tree. And every time I go back now, it's like on the walk in, I crest the hill and anxiously look to see if my tree, the tree that I saved is still there. And it stands to this day.
I'm just disappointed. If you really meant business, you would have put the tree up on a pike.
I mean, how do you know he didn't, right? I mean, is a tree not just a very thick pike?
That's, you know.
Also kind of a pipe, I guess, you know, sap and.
Yeah, for delicious life-giving water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But yeah, it was a good weekend. Lots of hanging out. Lots of s'mores were consumed.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about cowboy coffee, which you just boil the coffee in a pot, like grounds in the water. And at the very end, you take some like cold water from a canteen that you haven't heated and pour that around the top of the boiling water. And it apparently knocks all the grounds to the bottom. And mm-hmm. You can pour regular coffee. No filter, no nothing. And it worked like a charm. So
yeah, it really fucks up your stomach, though.
Oh, is that right?
I have tried doing it like that. Even with coffee that I have otherwise used, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't otherwise bother me. And it really upset my stomach. However, I also have a notoriously easy stomach to upset. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you are within the normal tolerances for coffee regularly.
Yeah.
This was good stuff.
Hmm.
I feel like if you are desperate enough to have to have like coffee hacks, you are not within the normal tolerances for coffee.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
No, I mean, normal tolerances for coffee, probably, definitely not normal tolerances for not coffee.
Mm, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to double negative that.
Yes. Nice. Well, we've talked about literally every single thing that has happened to us in the past week. So I think it is
good
time.
Show, guys. See you around.
Yep, there we are. Except for what games we've been playing, and I think we've got to do the regular kind of show to accomplish that. So why don't we do the grind, the multiplayer, the end boss, and get started with
the grind.
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past week. Who has something new?
I got something new.
Oh, go on.
Oh, Ben.
Wait. Do we all have something new?
I do, yeah.
What, oh, my God.
What's the release date? We should do by release date.
I have one that released yesterday.
I have one that released.
Mine's Friday.
I have one that released today.
Is it Redfall?
Is what?
Redfall?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Cole, you get to go first if you had one that released today.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't have an awful lot to say about it other than based on first impressions, by which I mean, like, I don't know, the first hour and a half with it. It feels real neat. It is a game. It is a Metroidvania called Rusted Moss. All right.
That's evocative.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening in the story because they're being, it's very deliberately like in media res. People in this world don't seem to like my character or the little sprite who follow her around very much. It could refer to something in the world, but really it is seeming to mostly refer to the color palette, which, at least so far in the opening biome, things are rusty and they are mossy.
You're playing as a Studio Ghibli protagonist.
Yes, this is a very pretty game. This has, it's pixel art, but it is like higher res than SNES. But, that puts you in the ballpark,
It's Celeste.
Yes, it is very Celeste-y. Yes. Celestial?
Celestial, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I like the fact that... it's just super, super cute and whimsical. And then your character just pulls out a machine gun.
Oh yeah. No, you're ice and fools. You're popping suckas with your machine gun. This is a game that recommends you play it with the mouse and keyboard. I have not tried playing it with a controller.
That's interesting.
Yeah, especially for a platformer. Precise aim is very important in this, not just for the combat. Which happens, your starting weapon is kind of a short range assault rifle that will do a couple of shots, basically like semi-auto when you click, but you can charge up and do like a big burst of fire. But the precise aim is very important because this is a grappling hook game.
Of course, of course, all good games are.
the first boss that you kill gives your gives the little sprite who follows you around the ability to kind of like turn into a big stretchy band that will latch onto patches of moss in the arenas. And this is a good.
Oh no, I was just laughing. You know, moss famously having very deep root structures.
Yes. Yeah. it is a neat way for them to signal that something grappling hookable. Yeah. The important part is this is not one of those cop out, grappling hook games where you can only grapple onto very, you know, like a couple of just like, hey, here's a thing that's hanging in the background. Click on the on that, like one per screen. This is doing, it's a little bit more freeform, which is nice. So this is not precisely, you know, like a lot of grappling hooks that you're going to find and play. It is not the Bionic Commando grappling hook where mm-hmm. everything is very deterministic based on the length of your arm when you throw it. You know, in Bionic Commando, you always throw at a 45 degree angle. Out and therefore always have like a very solid parabolic arc that you are doing. Also in Bionic Commando, you can't, you know, a big part of that is your chaining your swings. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, it's very difficult, but there are a whole bunch of long runs where you have to very precisely, you know, hit the point and then keep going to avoid enemy fire and all of that. Here you cannot fire while you are in the air. What makes that a little bit what makes this, you know, different and makes that so far acceptable to me is that the the grappling hook is rubber bandy. Okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing that in the videos. I was going to ask about it if you didn't say something.
Yeah, and it's like I had to spend a good amount of the time that I played it today getting used to this, but you know, relatively, you know, just I don't know, my words are kind of failing me. It took me a little bit of time to get used to it, but I started doing really cool stuff once I understood precisely how that affects your trajectory as it goes. So like, mm-hmm. yeah, you can do a big jump and then shoot out at roughly a 45 degree and get like a nice solid swing going on it. The majority of the time, that is not what's called for. The majority of the time, it is asking you to do kind of more precise swings in closer quarters. And it is kind of requiring you to understand, because of the stretch and because of the bounce, that like you want to make sure that you are firing as you are moving downward or as you are moving in a direction against where you're going to be, kind of latched onto, because that is going to, you know, you're going to stretch out and then fire back in the opposite direction. And though it is not immediately intuitive, you start doing cool stuff and it starts kind of, you know, making sense how to do what it is asking of you, which is real cool. I feel like I'm coming up short describing this in video. This would come across, especially like on the trailers on Steam, where they're going to show you, some of the more complicated, like later game things you can do. Mm-hmm. And even on there, it reveals like there are other kind of aspects of this. Like you get a shotgun that will kick you back with the recoil. I would be real surprised if there's not a rocket jump that you end up being able to do. But yeah, this is just a Metroidvania that has this really interesting movement model. And early on, has anybody here played Cave Story?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the greatest platformers ever made.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of like a Cave Story vibe, not just from the presentation, but also just in the, in the design space and the way that it uses it. Right. So we'll see if that pans out, because Cave Story is just a banger from front to back. But, mm-hmm. that's kind of my initial impression is that this is in a similar neighborhood to that.
Can't wait for speedrunners to tear this apart.
Oh, there's a speedrunning mode. Yeah. Yeah. I would be very curious to see, speedrunning modes in these, just get rid of all the dialogue. Just make it so it's just game, you know, There are other cool things, like they're borrowing some kind of innovations from Souls-like Metroidvanias that have been out. I would hesitate to call this strictly a Souls-like kind of deal, but like you gain mana by attacking things, and that can be used to heal yourself. So it's like a little bit of a Hollow Knight kind of deal. You have basically like badge points from Paper Mario. The system is in a few Souls-like Metroidvanias as well, where you find trinkets that will give you particular abilities, but they take a certain number of points, kind of drawing from a pool. So you need to expand, you know, find collectibles to expand that pool in order to use the better ones, or to find combinations that are there that are going to work. Like the first one that I found slows down projectiles that are headed toward you. You know, making the making those a little bit more manageable. But it was very expensive, right? In terms of in terms of cost. But yeah, like it feels really promising. It's also incredibly modest as well. Like you, I was really surprised to fire it up and not get like a whole bunch of I don't know, like publisher and middleware splash screens. It was just like right to the menu, which is weird. But that doesn't mean this has like poor production values. Like there's a ton of really good animation, looks really nice. Yeah. I don't know. I dig it. It's kind of hitting a bunch of my buttons, as far as particular game design stuff goes.
Before I Google it, do you know anything about the team who made it or like the size of the team?
Nope.
All right.
I was just on that page. Hold on. they made Signalis, I guess, notably.
Maybe there was some overlap on the team.
PlaySim published it.
PlaySim did the publish on Steam. It's three usernames who are listed as the developer: Faxdoc, Happy Squared, and Sunny Days.
Nice. Okay.
Probably a small team if they're listing individual people who made it.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, this just came out today. I was going to say, I would be very surprised if these people were done Signalis. Not because, you know, I don't think Signalis is very good, and this seems, at least so far, like it is very good. So
it actually does have just a little bit of a similar look, though.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like a anime-inspired kind of feel. Yeah. So,
just not that this is, you know, matters to anything, but I'm just curious, do you think is this the like 3D made to look like pixel thing?
No, this is fully pixel art. If this was 3D made to look like pixel, I can go with that on something like Signalis, because they did a very, very good job at applying that filter judiciously. But nothing in Signalis moves very fast. If this was something that moved as fast as it does, and it had the kind of mushiness in the animation of something that used that filter, or even, you know, was made with, you know, 3D assets and a 2.5D kind of feel, that would be disqualifying is a strong word, but I would not be as enthusiastic about it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions about Rusted Moss? Like I said, I have not played a whole lot of it, but what I have played makes me want to play more.
Not very cool.
Yeah. And I've also just been poking around with Like a Dragon Ishin, again. This is the Yakuza game that is a kind of a spinoff, takes place in like 1800s Japan. Investigating the death of your father, who was trying to set up this revolutionary loyalist party. Yes, that is a contradiction in terms, except for the fact that the terms are weird. But to do that, you have to get in with one of the precursors to the Yakuza, the Shinsegumi, to go and investigate, and that is continuing to be really fun from a story perspective, like a story and character perspective, but the play is wearing on me a little bit. You get that clunk, you get that, it's, you know, a bummer to run around and get into effectively random encounters. So, this feels very classically Yakuza to me, which is, I am so here for the story and for the crime drama, but the brawler stuff, is not as thin as Yakuza 1 was to me, which is the only one of these I've played to completion. You know, they have the different weapons and different stances, but good.
Yeah, Yakuza needs to be the next franchise turned into a hit TV series.
We actually talked about that on a recent Watch Out for Fireballs Dispatch.
Is that not a thing?
I know, right? Yeah. No, just a ton of money that Sega or anybody who wants to try could make. Like, literally everybody loves watching crime shit.
Yeah. And that,
I mean, they're making Gran Turismo into a movie.
They're making Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, what? I was really bummed out when I saw that. I was like, what are we doing here? Come on.
I'm kind of excited. Depending on how it goes.
But. Yeah.
Is it live action or animated?
I've got no idea. I don't know. I just saw that they were doing it. Yeah.
All right.
You'd have to hire every extra in the world. Oh, man.
So for Nakuza, what are the like weird side things? Like, is there equivalent of going to the karaoke and stuff like that?
Yep. Yeah. It's called a singing bar. You can do that. You can also like back up other people. If you want to, which is a different kind of rhythm game. I've only done it for fun. I've not done it for like a, you know, to deepen a relationship, right? You know, to gain like virtue points or whatever it is. one of the first of the side quests you can do is, I love these side quests because of how small, you know, just a small scale they are. But like, there's just this woman, you're walking down the street and you see her friend say, "I can't stand to be around you. Nobody can stand to be around you. Your stories are too long." and you know, you go up and talk to her and you think like, okay, am I just this kind of game this is? I mean, dude, do you want me to go beat up your friends, get them to listen to you? And she says, "I just need somebody to listen to me, anybody to listen to me." And then it turns into, she's just like, "Okay, you tell me, are my stories too long? Listen to this, but also I'm going to quiz you to make sure that you're actually paying attention." It tells this huge story. It's like, okay, what foods did I say I didn't like as a kid that I like now? You know, and then the kicker question to get your full reward is, and what is my name?
Oh no.
Oh, so this is the like, were you paying attention at speed dating type thing?
Yes. Yeah. But that's just like a good example of an early one that I think everybody's gonna run into. But yeah, it's got that goof. It's even got that goof in the main story. Like the first big boss fight that you do, is against a general, who comes in and, interrupts you when you are at a bathhouse, talking with an informant, and, everybody is naked and you're just kind of like, okay, what are they going to do? Like when it goes out to a full, a full camera shot, and then just, you are fighting and both of you just have these big clouds of steam around you that follow you as you do these wrestle moves and stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's charming. It's just one of those things where this is, I mean, kind of like Crisis Core, very obviously an older game that has gotten a fresh coat of paint and that's about it, you know. So that's a little bit of a concern, but I don't know, the charm is carrying me through as it stands.
All right.
So that's me, Rusted Moss and Like a Dragon Ishin. David, you sounds like you brought Redfall to the party.
Yeah. So got that on Game Pass. I'm not very far in. I'm like halfway through the second mission. But you know, still enough to see some of it. So this is newest game from Arkane Austin. Which is very alliterative, I approve. It's sort of like maybe if Left 4 Dead was open world.
Yeah. Like you're in this town where some kind of experiment has gone wrong. There are different kinds of vampires, some of which are basically just zombies, but there are also, like, I don't know what Stephen King would call, like, type 2 and type 1 vampires. About the type 1 vampires being like the bosses of the different districts that you have to go to, and you're doing like missions and building up stats and stuff while exploring this this world, and it's meant for multiplayer.
Well, right, that's one of the weird things is it supports I think 4-player multiplayer, you know, has 4 classes, you know, has a lot of that Left 4 Dead you know, DNA, but if you play it solo, you know, you don't have NPCs, you know, play CPU characters, and the developer recommends that you beat the game solo before doing multiplayer.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah. So I tried playing it multiplayer. And yeah, it feels, for a game that has like 4 distinct classes and touts 4-player co-op in the trailer, it really does not feel like they thought much about how this was going to actually work as a co-op game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unusual. It's a very unusual game from what I've seen so far.
Another way to describe it is mostly negative reviews on Steam.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how that plays out, because it's not clear to me yet that isn't just, you know, the same thing that happens whenever anyone hears that, like, FromSoft might make a game that isn't just Dark Souls.
Gamers being pissy.
And, like, from what I've seen and kind of experienced, I don't think it's just that. I'm not sure it's not at least partially that, though.
What I have, my understanding is, like, the substantive complaints that I have seen is people who are being let down by concessions made in the simulation, concessions made against the simulation in favor of making it a multiplayer experience, where things need to behave a little bit more kind of deterministically, like using this skill makes this thing happen every single time. And that deprioritizes kind of a lot of what folks who would be coming to Arcane games would really, really want to see, which is systems interacting with each other in weird and cool ways. And people are saying that that trade-off might not inherently be worth it, if, you know, to make the kind of product that the studio is, like, historically excelled at.
Yeah, for systems to interact in weird and cool ways, you need to, at least most of the time, and especially in this Dishonored-like kind of game, you need to set up that system. Mm-hmm. And that is pretty much antithetical to the vibe of a co-op shooter.
Yeah, which almost, like, always will favor chaos.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, maybe if you were really dedicated, if your group was really dedicated to, like, role playing this out, you could make it work. But so far, again, only a couple hours in, but so far there is no situation that it is not best to just complete brute force, go in guns blazing, and raffle stomp your way through it. Yeah. Although, it's just, from what doesn't make sense, like, to do anything else.
Fully supported.
Maybe, sure. Like, everyone has the arcane level of awareness where you can cross about 5 feet in front of their noses and they won't see you. But again, it, like, to what end? You know, you can sneak past them, but it's easier and faster just to shoot them. No one wants to play with their friends being quiet, creeping around. I'm realizing in the game that I'm about to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I would say, like, I think this probably just isn't a multiplayer game at this point.
No, hardcore, I would say it is not.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping maybe is, and Greg, I am, like, a couple hours in, so I'm far from this being relevant. I could see this being a game where maybe they eventually, like, release a endgame DLC that's a lot of fun multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, like, this story is that.
Yeah.
If you invest 200 hours in this game, maybe they will eventually make a good game for you to play that you also then have to buy.
Yeah. The other complaints that I have seen are this game being relatively unfinished, you know, which is kind of an epidemic of things happening. I don't know if anybody is going to be bringing Star Wars to this. Jedi Survivor. Ben, maybe, I think. You said it came out on Friday.
Played in the fifth.
Yeah. There is also kind of just a I don't know, lack of polish would not get the kind of condemnation that I am seeing. Just like things don't fit together. Stuff is behaving in, you know, not very satisfying ways.
So from that aspect, the biggest thing I've seen, which is kind of interesting to me, is this to me looks like a current gen game. I haven't seen anything in this that couldn't have been in, you know, any of the last three Far Cry games.
Okay.
However, it's kind of chugs like a next gen game. You know, basically, it seems like they didn't bother to optimize it for whatever you want to say, whatever the system is that isn't PS5, by which I mean systems that people actually own.
Right.
Despite there not being anything in it that seems to justify like requiring a next gen system.
Right.
Yeah. And I think some of that is just like, I'm not sure I've seen literally anything in the next gen that justifies being a next gen system. But right. I think that's part of it, is it doesn't come across as poorly optimized in the way that like I don't know, there's been a number recently, you know, Cyberpunk and Wild Heart and stuff like that. But it does come across like they just didn't bother optimizing like the lower end modes of what it supports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, optimization is kind of one of those things that happens last. And if a product is kicked out the door, that's going to be, you know, something that's handled in, rushed, panicked patches and lots of, screenshot apologies from developers.
It feels ever more like the attitude is, all right, kick it out with nothing fixed, see what people complain about, and that'll tell us what we need to focus on and what we can just ignore.
Yeah.
I have to say though, so far I'm still positive on it because I got it for free on Game Pass, and all I wanted from this is a game with lots of ways to shoot lots of vampires.
So like what kind of character are you playing? Like what powers do you have? Like name me a cool situation that you got into.
Sure. So I'm playing as the Coast Guard, combat engineer, and she kind of has a Boston Dynamics inspired robot.
Okay.
Except bipedal instead of quad pedal or whatever.
My understanding is this is very particularly a kind of character that is not good for a single player.
Yeah.
Which I'm not criticizing. I want to hear how that has worked out for you. It's just people that when I've heard people complain about it, they have talked about picking this character because she seemed real cool.
Yeah, and that is that, and that's literally the only thing I care about. I don't use any of her abilities, and I don't care.
Okay.
I like that I have a robot that my character routinely talks to and gets responses in, like, R2-D2 style emotive buzzes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, who did you roll as?
I picked the same character, and then the buddy I was playing with went as the lightning javelin guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. The cryptid influencer guy.
Yeah. And here's my complaint is, like you said, I think I tried to use the one power I had unlocked for her once, and it had no noticeable effect. And I was like, I should have just been shooting. But even if you're like, hey, this would be really fun to shoot zombies or whatever, vampires with, you have to wade through about 10 minutes of clunky, slow navel gazing cutscenes to get anywhere.
And multiplayer?
Oh yeah. I mean,
you haven't seen that.
Have you actively skipped stuff?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's a whole intro sequence about, what went wrong in the town with concept art, you know?
Oh yeah. But that's what I want from this game.
Oh, I did. I wanted to shoot something. I wanted to do something, anything. But I was stuck watching all this. And then like every character has their own, like character specific background stories and motivation monologues and all this stuff. And, in our case, sometimes they gave them at the same time, overlapping each other. Cause okay, apparently nobody thought the flag, like you have multiple people, maybe don't just do the same thing for different people at the same time. So yeah, I, if you're positive on it, great, more power to you. I this is to me a completely failed experiment for co-op.
So oh, yeah, like I think the problem is for co-op. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm a bit confused. So they play like you're saying that they play a bunch of cinematics when you're trying to do co-op specifically over like multiplayer or something like that.
Just trying to get into the game. Like there's a long intro to the game, and then the opening level is very talky, and it's got the arcane thing where, like, you know, there's lots of incidental dialogue between characters and stuff, and it's like, okay, I kind of want to listen to this, but also like I don't just want to sit here in silence.
Can you play multiplayer instead if you want to get straight to like fighting things?
What do you mean play multiplayer instead?
Do they have multiplayer, or is this like Deathloop?
No. This is Deathloop. This is Dishonored, just with a co-op buddy.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what you're signing up for then, right?
I guess. Yeah. It does not, at least for me, did not translate to fun.
Yeah.
I have to say the other character I'm thinking about trying though, that I do think's really cool, is the psychic.
Okay.
Who, her one ability is to summon a psychic elevator, which just kind of blasts you up in the air so you can, you know, skip up to rooftops, stuff like that, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is to summon her ex-boyfriend who got turned into a vampire.
Good.
And he like helps you, but he's a good vampire, so he like helps you, you know, fight enemies for a little bit.
And this raises a whole swath of moral dilemmas.
Yeah, it's unclear. One thing I am kind of excited about for the storyline is it seems like the vampires are explicitly like traditional, you know, Vampire the Masquerade asks supernatural vampires, but also there's apparently some like Umbrella Corporation type stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that plays out. Yeah. Yeah, I think my overall thing for this is I will not at all say this is a good game, but you know, I don't think it's necessarily an unenjoyable game.
Yeah, that's about as much as you can give it.
Yeah. And I mean also time. Right. Like, I don't know, as bad as it is that this is the state of affairs where a game is going to change, you know, pretty drastically, like there will be changes that are kind of made to this in terms of like mm-hmm. onboarding and, you know, smoothing stuff over, optimizing, like, you know, it's just one of those things where you fall into like, okay, do I evaluate this as a product or do I evaluate this as a work? Because this could be a bad product, but a good work that will happen eventually.
Yeah.
I also think, I mean, it does help that this is a time when there's not a lot of, you know, alternatives.
The fact that each of us has something new.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
there,
weird.
There are not a lot of alternatives that I'm willing to pay, what, $70 for?
Yeah.
No. Can I pitch you an alternative that is only $30?
Go on.
Yeah, this would transition us to the next game, so I don't want to cut off anything, but
did you have anything else, David?
No.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, well, go right ahead.
Yeah, I finally jumped in on a game that I've been following since it was an alpha and bought GTFO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead likes.
Exactly. Yes, and this is a significantly more horror themed Left 4 Dead. That it favors kind of high difficulty and very systematic, tense clearing of rooms rather than the happy-go-lucky, you know, sprint around and shoot at stuff of Left 4 Dead. So the only story that I have so far is like you are a prisoner that is kept in like cryo sleep or whatever, and you're woken up periodically by this sinister force known only as the Warden. And dropped into this hellhole to accomplish various tasks. You know, you're dropped down.
Is very much like, you know, legally distinct from GLaDOS energy.
Right. It's got the whole Jigsaw kind of vibe going on. So yeah, you're usually there in a team of four. And at least that I saw, there's no matchmaking. So you go either with, ooh, you know, your group or with someone you found on Discord or with bots. And what I've heard is the bots are not good.
That's so. Probably a deal breaker. Sorry.
Well, so I don't tap out just yet because I had an absolute blast playing it. And I went to the GTFO Discord and just posted like, I need, you know, looking for group as a complete noob for the first mission. And literally immediately had three experienced people jump in and be like, hey, what's up? Let's play. And super welcoming community, all cool normal people, which I feel like is important to emphasize on the internet.
You're not rolling with grapers or whatever.
Yeah, no weird energy. And it was a really, really fun time. Like I said, it favors kind of this systematic, tense killing of enemies while they are asleep. And the design of these enemies is great. So it's these, you know, zombie-esque, gray, corpse-like enemies. They sit or stand in all these like weird contortionist postures that are just super, super unnerving. And if you move too fast or if you shine a light on them, their hearts will start throbbing. Except it's like a giant glowing heart inside them that shines through the skin, and there's way too much liquid going through the heart. So instead of a heartbeat, it sounds like more someone swishing rinse. Ugh. You know, it's got unnerving down pat. But if you can hit them with the melee kill, that will take them out before they're activated. However, that makes noise, right? And it might wake up the one next to them. And so you have to be very quick and methodical on taking them out. Once stuff does start going down, they move really fast. They skitter, which I think we've covered on this show, is a very, very scary thing.
Yeah.
In all the ways that human bodies shouldn't. and they shoot projectiles, but it's almost like this streaming motes of light that they release into the air. They move way slower than a bullet, but fast enough that you can't really get out of the way. And it has the effect of like just constantly jumping, like, can I dodge that? And like one out of every couple times you can. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you can't.
Oh, so it's not hit scan.
Yeah.
It's not one of the things where like, you know, games do tracers where like they make it look like it's not hit scan, but it is.
Hit scan. You can dodge, but it's not like a bullet hell thing where you could get good at jumping around it.
Yeah.
But it serves all of that together serves to just make you feel completely in over your head. And add to that, I'm new to the game. And the people playing with me were very good on like, hey, we're not going to spoil stuff for you. We'll let you like, you know, we'll kind of romp through with you, but we'll let you take the lead. And that was really cool. Again, just this like to find three people on a server in seconds willing to help you out, introduce you to the game and not like, you know, boss you around is super rare.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Which is also funny because, like, the premise of the game is, like, you're some asshole, like, prison and you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I really have to commend the interface for this game, which goes very minimalistic and very, I don't want to say realistic, but like old school computer interface. Like if you want to ping an item to figure out where it is on the map, you have to find a computer console, literally open it up and start typing in console commands.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was one of the things I was going to ask is I've heard the like computer interaction is amazing.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. And it is that you're literally just typing in at the screen and hoping that nothing is sneaking up behind you. the instructions and the designation will be like, go to area 75, you know, and you've just got to look at the walls and stuff and see like, okay, well, this is 72B. And this says it's you're like signposting and reading your way there without just having a giant, blip and line drawn on a HUD for you.
Yeah.
That works great in this game because you can have a horde of these zombie things show up, get into this crazy firefight for your life, and then be like, where are we? what did we get into?
I got all turned around. Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. And that fits the vibe of this game so well. I had a significant leg up in that, like I said, I had experienced players. So they kind of knew what was going on. They explained some things to me about like how the AI spawns enemies to like know what door they're probably going to come through that I wouldn't have known otherwise. I had a leg up in that sense, but, I'm very intrigued by the game. I've got some buddies that are playing it. I just haven't been able to sync up with them at once. Mm-hmm. They haven't managed to finish the first mission yet. So that them coming in completely blind, it's been extra difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited. It seems like the right way to play this game is with friends who aren't completely familiar with it.
Right.
Though I'm grateful for the intro to it that with people that were.
Does it use a Left 4 Dead style, no classes, but classes of weapons?
Yep, that's exactly it. And that I can tell, everything is available to you up front. So there's a large catalog of different types of weapons. I could select anything I wanted with no restrictions on my first drop. The thing that it does look like it takes time to build up are boosters, which you can choose like from a menu of boosters you have stored, perks that are just for that drop. So use them sparingly. It's got a bit of that survival horror resource management. Mm-hmm. Ammo is very scarce as well. So you can't just blast away. And you got to kind of take care of each other and pay attention to who's used what.
Yeah.
GTFO, I'm liking it a lot. It does circling all the way around to the thought at the start about story. It does imply that by completing the missions, and they kind of go in order for different, they call them rundowns, so different campaigns, you can learn more about like the nature of the place you're in, what these zombies are, and ultimately maybe even try to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Discord had stuff all over it about like, hey, welcome. Nobody spoil anything for anyone. So it's interesting to have that kind of intention.
Yeah,
behind it, and it was something cool. Clearly, yeah, it's something that the community honored. So, that leads me to believe that there is something good,
waiting for
on
you.
The other side of it. Yeah,
it's funny how strongly video game communities won't spoil things if like it becomes a norm not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very cool.
Sometimes going a little too far. Look at you, FromSoft folks.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, it's good to hear that this is this is good. This is one that kind of like constantly pops up in my recommendations, just because I'm always playing horror stuff.
Well, and I've always been like I said, I've followed it since Alpha, which it released in 2 years ago, and I think it was an Alpha even before that. I was like, it'll show up on Game Pass or it'll go deeper on sale, but it goes on sale for 30% off all the time. And I've never seen it below that. So,
right.
Finally, just cause a friend was asking about anyone who was interested, I was like, all right, that's what I needed to pick this up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've also heard this is a pretty good, streamer game because it's one where, Basically, you can get the sort of the screamer streamer moments without it being performative, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got a squad there that's relying on you to keep going versus goofing, you know?
Right.
So you're saying it's an actually scary game.
But at the same time, you do have these situations where it's like, oh, everything is going to hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things can get out of control real quick if you aren't careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the big one. Yeah, in addition to Redfall. And again, it's kind of like, well, okay, so stealth games shouldn't be co-op games, except GTFO kind of works that way. It's not complete stealth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. I always remember Splinter Cell. I was watching a behind the scenes video on that, and they're talking about their concept of active stealth, that like you're keeping anyone from knowing that you're there, but it's not necessarily by hiding from them, or at least not hiding from them very long.
Mm-hmm.
It's by taking them out before they can react. And that's what GTFO feels like.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, if you know, you're invisible if everyone's dead.
Yep.
This is only semi-related, but did you play the Aliens game, the good one?
Isolation?
No, the plural Aliens good one.
Okay.
Was it the Fire Team whatever?
Yeah. Thing? Yeah.
I tried it, and I can't remember if I did cloud streaming or downloaded it on my old computer, and it was not, like, I couldn't run it for whatever reason.
Okay.
Or the cloud streaming was too jank.
That is, sounds like it has some similar things, although with a much more action oriented to it. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
but still, mm-hmm. yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So GTFO. And if you want to GTF on with me, yeah, in GTFO.
Exactly. Do not GTFO on GTFO.
Exactly. Let me know.
Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. Yeah. That's that one. I will say two really quick things about my perennial games. I mentioned in previous episodes that the new Trackmania campaign is kind of bad. But the Trackmania community campaign that they release every quarter alongside like the, I guess the built-in campaign is really, really good. And I'd never bothered checking out the community campaign. So it's 25 maps that are segmented by difficulty. Just like in the regular campaign, but it's all community made stuff. Really good, really polished and a lot of fun. So Trackmania, I found a campaign I like.
Okay. And, just not made by the developers.
Yeah. Well, and that's Trackmania's thing though, is like the game is all the stuff that's made by the community. Mm-hmm. And the bespoke campaigns are really just a jumping off point.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised it's gotten to this place. However, that is not an excuse for Nidea to not make good campaigns. So hopefully next one is better.
Okay.
I don't know. Sounds like a pretty good excuse to me.
maybe. And then finally, Slay by Comet. I said last week it was gonna be over, or at least season two was going to be over. We won. We killed the heart. There was a big debate on like three different ways to do it. We wound up just ending the turn and letting a passive relic that we had kill it, which was fun. And season three has started. And for anyone familiar with the game, we are now doing a silent run.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that the community is memeing pretty hard because the silent is notable for like just playing a billion cards in a turn, which with the Slay by Comet format of like, you know, if you don't have the information to make the decision, you have to wait till the next day.
Okay.
We will be doing this 60 years from now. And people are here for it. So here we go.
Which one is the little goblin guy?
Little guy.
Oh yeah. Silent. Okay. Yeah. The little kobold looking guy.
Kobold looking gal.
Gal. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is good times. So continues to just be a highlight of my day every day.
Nice.
And that's me.
And that just leaves Ben.
All right. Let's talk about my new game, which, it is Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Cool.
Yeah, I picked it up Friday. I don't have as much drama as like everyone has about this game, but in part it's because I've only played it for maybe 2 or 3 hours, I would say.
You're also playing it on the PS5.
Yes.
The majority of the backlash to it has been coming from people who are playing what seems to be a very catastrophically unfinished PC port.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, just more so than usual. Is the sense that I get. It's bad enough that, again, the developer, I think EA or somebody, had to put out like one of those apology, you know, JPEGs, mm-hmm. just to, you know, with like, we failed you, we should have done better, we're gonna do make it right kind of stuff. But like on PS5, my understanding is it works pretty well while still having some like tearing and stuff, but nothing like game breaking. So
I did see a few Reddit posts of like people having game breaking bugs toward the latter half of the game. I think those are being patched out. They released a patch yesterday and today, both for PC and console. But the from what I've read is like the game breaking bug is kind of a spoiler with how you can get it. So I haven't read the details of how you get in that state. The only issue I've run into so far is my power went out earlier today, so I had to redo the beginning of a level, but
oh no,
I'm not sure, but I had died at the last point, so I'm not actually sure if it's like, cause the game's like Dark Souls, I think. So I'm not sure if it's on me or if it's on the game. I think it might be on me. So I'm not even upset about that situation.
Yeah.
But mostly I think the bigger review of the game outside of like the bug controversy is this is, feels similar to like a God of War 2 to God of War sort of step where it's basically the same game. Like they made an engine for the last game and they're like, all right, let's run it back. like we'll do minor improvements to like what you can do with this. But by and large, it's just going to be the same game as before. Mm-hmm. And we'll just make new content for it. I've gotten through the first planet, which is like pretty similar to like Braca, if you remember. That's like the first planet of the first game. Mm-hmm.
Sanctuary-esque,
like very gray. I'm not going to spoil like where it is or anything like that, but it's similar in like palette maybe, and it's similar in like the length that it takes to play through it. And kind of, you know, it's like an intro tutorial like planet, right? It teaches you all the moves and stuff like that, so you can kind of get the mechanics under your feet, and then it sends you off somewhere else. So yeah, but by and large, I mean, I'll keep playing it and we'll see if I like peter out on it or not, but already I'm just kind of like a little bit, I'm feeling like I'm seeing the patterns of like these games where it's like things that were very impressive for a first game and just having like little development or little change on like the second iteration. And it's like, I don't know. It just feels weird. Cause it's like, I don't know what a reasonable level of expectation is from, you know, like from the players to the game of like, it's probably unrealistic to make them make a new engine for every game that they make. But at the same time, it's like, you also don't want to play the same game twice with just a fresh, like coat of paint. So
my understanding is they have expanded it. They've made it more open worldy.
Okay.
And a little bit more like Breath of the Wild is probably going too far. But that's the impression that I got from reading about it. Is that not the case? Does it feel about as not reined in, but does it feel like it is about on the scale of the previous one?
That might be the case. I have not gotten to that point. If that's the case, though,
right?
I forget the level that's like the second planet you go to in the first game, where it's like a lot of stones you're jumping between. There's that frog boss or whatever.
But yeah. Like, isn't that still the first level?
No, in the first game.
Yeah, in the first game, I thought so. That's where you started.
And you started in like the junk
world. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But that's like the first main open world that you explore. That's like the equivalent. I'm on the equivalent planet of that in the second game. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. So it could open up and be more open worldy. I haven't gotten there yet. They did add fast travel to the game. I didn't really have a huge problem with not having fast travel, I think, in the last iteration of the game, but I think a lot of other people did. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's like a huge improvement. You can get a mullet haircut. And so I immediately slapped that on Cal as soon as I could. The customization right now, it's mostly just visuals. You can change your lightsaber color. The thing that's kind of like a disappointment is like, you can do it any color from like the outset. Like you don't need to like collect like things in order to unlock it. Mm-hmm. The type of metal that you make on like the lightsaber, those are things that are unlockables. and you can customize like the your droid. I forget what it's called, like BD something maybe. But your droid, you can unlock like customizable appearances for that. So like that's fine, like that's okay sort of thing, but it doesn't really add a lot of depth to the game or anything like that.
Is the poncho game still on point?
Ooh, I haven't got a poncho yet. I've got a few different tops, but
why not?
Nothing rivaling. Hey, dude. I mean, I will take a poncho if I see it, but
just Ben knows how to take a poncho.
Nothing but poncho. So maybe that's where all the development went.
Yeah, to really cut down on their poncho budget. But yeah, I don't know. So I don't really have too much to say about the game, I guess, because I haven't experienced too much of it, but. I'm a little bit worried that it's just going to be like a similar experience as like God of War 2 was, where it's like, it, you know, like, you know, if you look at it objectively, you could say, yes, this is a well put together game, or there's, you know, certain care and certain good parts of the graphics, but I've already had this experience. So it's like, there's not a lot of innovation from the first to the second.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all cool. It's a weak for me.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, no, that was a bunch of new stuff, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
we did good.
I know. Good being relevant. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to end the segment before we screw it up.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis,
or else.
What is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, I wanted to know about celebs in games. Met Gala was this week, so got a little bit of that energy going here. Mm-hmm. Lots of celebrities have been involved in video games. They've given their voices or their likenesses or, you know, all sorts of stuff with very mixed results. So what are some of your favorites, either because they were very good or very hilariously bad?
Yeah, the skies were empty because the stars came to Earth. Sailors ran upon the rocks. I will get started here with JC, who says, if FMV games count, you know they do. if FMV games count, Christopher Walken in Ripper is amazing. Yeah, okay. Nobody would believe that Christopher Walken was in a video game, but he absolutely was. Yeah, and Ripper, you got lots of folks getting a lot of folks go crazy for that. Sickos for the FMV stuff.
I mean, Christopher Walken was already in the greatest music video of all time.
True enough, Weapon of Choice, Fatboy Slim. That has to be what we're talking about, right?
Yes, it is.
Have you not, Dennis, have you seriously not seen the Weapon of Choice video?
No, I need to, apparently.
It's really good. I think Spike Jonze directed it.
Wow, okay, very cool.
It's like 20 years old at this point.
Yeah, there's a 4K transfer of it. Weapon of Choice video. I need to make sure I know who is directing it.
Mm-hmm.
But Spike Jonze. There we go. Yeah,
cool.
Man.
I know what I'm doing after we record.
Yeah, I have a friend who teaches dance, and that is what she uses for introducing students to the importance of juxtaposing like stillness and motion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's perfect. It just turns out that Christopher Walken is an amazing dancer, in addition to being good at the stuff he's normally good at. Let's see, Ben, what does Callum say?
Callum says Lance Reddick as Cylons Horizon series.
Yeah, no, we're going to see that too.
About that.
David, what does Peter say?
Peter says Lance Reddick was amazingly good in the Destiny series, also as Commander Zavala. Rest in peace, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
I would also make a case for Nathan Fillion as Cade 6 and Peter Dinklage as the original voice actor for Ghost at the launch of Destiny.
Hmm. On the terrible side, right?
I mean, they took out his best line, you know, that was us from the moon. Lance Reddick as Zavala is definitely mine. My biggest frustration with that is that some of the recent seasons of Destiny have been, you know, his material his writing and his delivery has been amazing for. But the problem is a lot of it banks on you haven't kind of been there along the way.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a lot of, you know, he is very much kind of the sort of the Superman, the, you know, lawful good, you know, that sort of thing. And this series as a whole has gone from Destiny 1, where it's, you know, very black and white, good and evil, to, like, you know, the various, you know, enemy aliens are now becoming allies. You start using the darkness powers, that sort of thing. And so it's kind of become, like, just death by a thousand cuts of him sort of losing his faith or becoming conflicted. And some of the payoff for that is just really, really good.
Yeah. Lance Reddick, rest in peace. Dennis, what does Jeremy say?
They say, I did not know that Christopher Judge was the voice actor for Kratos in God of War, and I was pleasantly surprised by the result. I always loved him as TLC in Stargate SG-1, or Teal'c.
No idea. Never seen Stargate SG-1.
I just love his video, his, like, promotional videos, where he's just, like, voicing over Kratos as he's playing.
That's a pretty good concept. Gosh.
It's pretty the story of the God of War, specifically Ragnarok, production team working with him as he went through. Well, because he had pretty major surgery in 2019 and was, you know, disabled for a while. Like, part of the delay for God of War Ragnarok was because they refused to replace him or use anybody else. That's, it's like, really cool. Yeah. And, you know, just basically they explained, and, like, there was absolutely no bad blood about it at all. They're like, no, this guy is Kratos. Bring him in.
That's just their cover story, so they had extra time to actually fix bugs and release a game that wasn't broken.
Hey, if that's what it takes, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Alexander says, I love some of the celebrity casting in Westwood's games, particularly James Earl Jones in Tiberium Sun and Tim Curry in Red Alert 3. Tim Curry in Red Alert 3 is really, really hard to fuck with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I love all the shots that it's just him failing not to laugh.
Well, there's the famous one, the communism. You know, space being the last place capitalism hasn't touched or whatever. Yep. But like, it's throughout. Like, the opening video for that is incredibly charming.
Takei, as I forget the character's name, but, like, the leader of the Japanese faction is really good.
Yep. Yeah, no. Like, weirdly, like, Red Alert 3, game shit on by fans of the series. I thought it played like an RTS, and it had those fun FMVs, so it was hard to complain about. Let's see, Ben, what does Eli say?
Eli says, does Dean Erickson count as a celebrity?
No. Eli is referring to, Tim Curry voiced Gabriel Knight in Gabriel Knight 1. Fantastic. He brought a lot to the role. But Gabriel Knight 2, The Beast Within, they moved to an FMV format, and Tim Curry looks nothing like Gabriel Knight. And so they got this TV actor named Dean Erickson to come in and replace him. And he does, I like his performance an awful lot. It kind of pales in comparison to the antagonist in the game, who does incredible work. But nobody would consider Dean Erickson to be a celebrity. Sorry. Let's see here. David, what does Kyle say?
Kyle says, as a metalhead, Brutal Legend was a treat. Jack Black hang out with Ozzy, Lemmy, and Rob Halford? Sorry. Outclass the gameplay by a Far Cry.
Yeah.
I like that pun.
No, I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
And from what I recall, it's been years since I've played this, but I love the whole weird where, you know, all of the celebrities are playing themselves, but the game refuses to admit it.
Yep. Yeah. No, you can just you can tell the metal stars were having a lot of fun, but also like everybody, you know, was having like the best day of their life whenever
when they brought them in. All you want from a game like this.
I just can't imagine how many drugs were in that recording booth.
I mean, like a lot of those folks are older. Like and some of them are famously clean, you know? Yeah. Like Ozzy doesn't, my understanding. Yeah. By that point, I think that would have been a kind of a rarity.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then round us out, Dennis, with what Greg says.
Greg says Felicia Day did a great job with her roles in Fallout New Vegas and Dragon Age 2. Kristen Bell was also really good in the first two Assassin's Creed games. And Tim Curry was a joy seeing him ham it up in the super cheesy performance he did in Command & Conquer Red Alert 2:Space. /by him.
Yeah.
Who was Felicia Day as in New Vegas?
She was Veronica. The Brotherhood scribe who fights with the power fist.
The correct choice for your companion.
Hey, don't throw shade at Arcade Ganon. Come on.
How dare.
Whiskey Ruse.
He was also cool.
Yeah.
Some of his endings were just so freaking depressing.
Yeah. Yeah. There is not a lot of hope for an idealist in that setting. Yeah, my answer has got to be Keith David in Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
Just because he plays himself. The boss from the Saints gang becomes president of the United States for doing whatever they did in Saints Row the 3rd. I love that game, but I forget the entire story. and Keith David, just noted character actor Keith David, becomes his vice president and all of their spacefaring adventures and whatever, and he is 100% game for everything that goes on there. Yeah,
they literally recreate the fight scene from They Live.
Mm-hmm. Also because Keith David played an antagonist, I believe, in one of the first two Saints Row games. I never played those, but this was very funny. One of the things was like you go in these like little simulations of the character's past or whatever, and Keith David comes along on one of them. It's like, wait a minute, why does that guy sound like me? It's just incredible. It's pretty hard to fuck with Keith David in general. Again, he's kind of one of the same Curry figures for me. But that was very amusing. So that's my answer. Ben, how about you?
You know, I had one before the show that I thought was good, but I didn't write it down and I forgot it. So I'm gonna go with Scully and Mulder and the X-Files FMV game.
Scully and Mulder on a nearly fatal dose of Xanax. Oh, geez. If you remember it, let us know throughout the rest of the episode. Sure. David, how about you?
Captain Zavala, Commander Zavala, rather.
I would be really surprised if it was anything else.
Yeah.
Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, for me, it's got to be Ricky Gervais as Wheatley in Portal.
That was not Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Who was it?
This is a tall British dude. I forget his name.
It's a British Stephen actor. Merchant. Yeah, Stephen Merchant. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. Well, Google has failed me.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
He probably gets that a lot. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Merchant. He was another creative force behind The Office, the British version. So.
Or as I like to refer to him, the poor man's Ricky Gervais.
No, very much the rich man's Ricky Gervais at this point.
So could you go with I don't think this would be mine, but just for, you know, exploring the bounds of this, could I have said like Tony Hawk?
Oh yeah,
it not
that works.
Count if it's someone literally how, playing themselves.
I mean, I did
how involved. Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Was Tony Hawk actually in the first Tony Hawk game?
He was pretty involved.
Okay.
He all didn't right. want it to be like a. He didn't want it to be a fake thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Good. Good thing they stayed so true to life.
I mean, from a culture standpoint, right?
Fair. Yeah. Fair. Yeah.
Nice. Well. This. Yeah. Thank you very much, Dennis, for posting this. Thank you, everybody, for responding. If you would like to participate in the multiplayer in the future, you can go to facebook.com, do a search for Duckfeed Community, join the group, and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where normally I like to keep the stories a little bit positive, but I've got a bummer one here, which is Waypoint's closing. Vice shuttered Waypoints last I think beginning of last week, something like that.
What is Waypoint?
So Waypoint was another game journalism kind of outlet, basically, like, you know how it's so hard to say because there are so few kind of so few examples, but like, you know how Vice has Motherboard to talk about computer stuff, or like Vox has Polygon, right? Waypoint very particularly was Vice's game outlet that was not so much about like breaking news or like review kind of stuff, although the review stuff was really on point. It was more like, let's have a small core team of really conscientious people writing very thoughtfully about games and the culture and stuff like that, and at least very early on had a really wide base of freelancers. They were like a pretty open outfit for like a, hey, if you've got a story, you know, we'll work with you, and pitch it. Just, we want to get these kind of unique voices out there. You know, sometimes this would get to be a parody, you know, just talking about like which characters in Hades do you want to rim or something, but like
but, all of them,
you know, like in general it was like a place for like marginalized voices. And the other part is when they did do news reporting, very particularly, this is where Patrick Klepek was working and doing just a shitload of labor stuff, doing stories about various union campaigns, various kind of like labor scandals at larger studios that otherwise would never have come to light. Just really, really reliable reporting. And all this was in addition to like Waypoint had one of the last video game podcasts that I listened to. Most of my podcast listening is politics stuff. So Waypoint Radio, that's going to be going away. I never watched their streams, but they were very active on streaming kind of stuff, streaming interesting, cool things. And yeah, all of that is shut down because of, quote, economic headwinds, i.e. The finance company that owns Vice or whatever wasn't seeing 100x returns. And so they decided to kill a bunch of careers, or, you know, kill a bunch of jobs so that they could protect their profits. Or ensure their golden parachutes, because now it is rumored that Vice is going to be filing for bankruptcy, and you can only blame it squarely on the executive level. So fuck them. And it is a real shame to see just another outlet get shuttered, you know, especially like hot on the heels of like BuzzFeed News getting shut down, stuff like that. Like, it's a real loss.
Yeah, so it sucks
shitty. I don't know how anybody would even try to begin breaking into talking about games professionally right now. I really don't. So that's my bummer of a story. Sorry. While we're talking about financial impossibilities and things like that, hey Dennis, how are Blockbuster Games doing since we talked about two that came out broken?
This is getting kind of insane, by which I mean entirely deranged. So, you know, part of the whole pissing match going on, between Activision and, Sony, is, or excuse me, what is this? Microsoft buying Blizzard and Sony, and the suits going on are, that documents that are giving behind the scenes looks at the, way games are made and the costs of making games are being released. So, hey, who'd have thunk it can cost over $1 billion to make and market a triple A game.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You heard that correctly. Billion with a B.
Was there a particular title that was saddled with that particular number?
No, it was all, you know, this publisher, that publisher. I mean, it's gotta be like a Call of Duty or a GTA or something.
Yeah.
They spent $660 million on development and $550 million on marketing.
The marketing part is insane to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely gobsmackingly crazy. Yeah. For reference, I believe, let me, I can confirm this later, but it, off the top of my head, I think a Super Bowl spot, which is like the most expensive piece of advertising you can buy, is in the range of like $50
million. Wow.
So 10 Super Bowl spots worth of ads on a top level game that already cost $660 million to create. Just absolutely insane. So yeah, there's the publishers are, all over the map though. Like there, one said $164 million pre-launch development and $55 million in marketing, $350 million pre-development and $310 million for marketing. It just crazy that, even the high development costs, like I can get it. The amount of effort that goes into a game. From well-resourced studios, but the marketing to go alongside it, basically doubling the cost is just zany. Like I don't understand this. And I think it's gotta be a bubble that's going to burst.
I see marketing costs that high and I cannot help but kind of see that just as corporate back scratching, you know, like there are just so many relationships that, you know, higher ups at these studios have with individual, you know, places that sell inventory that like, there's gotta be just a ton of just guaranteed back scratching, kind of stuff going on. I don't, it is impossible to think about a, you know, on one hand, it's impossible to think about a marketing budget that that so far exceeds development, but also they're not spending money on salaries for these people. So that's probably keeping the development budgets down, you know, and this goes concurrently with, it's not just budget that it's a problem, but it's also timeline, you know?
Just well, like, yeah. And these are games that are coming out effectively broken. And then they fix them as they go, playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Which I guess we've just grown to accept, which like, you know, releasing games in early access and using actual players to learn like how to make them better is great if you let the players know that you're doing that.
Yeah.
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 Like,
I think the other commonality of the two games that were released like that we talked about this week is it's two giant studios. It's EA and Bethesda. So
yeah. So yeah, the costs are higher than you could have imagined to make AAA games. And they were comparing to previous generations, and basically every generation, the cost of creating a AAA game has doubled, which just that, I mean, it's not sustainable, right? And we'll see it burst at some point, especially as like generations of consoles become less and less meaningful. That can't hold. I don't
think. No.
Please, God, no.
There's going to need to be an adjustment of expectations on the part of the players, you know, but like currently as it stands, anything that comes out not being super shiny and you know, as unreal particle affected as possible, you know, gets called like, oh, this could be an Xbox 360 game, look at how cheap this is, you know, cheap dev, lazy dev, kind of deals.
See, I feel like that's more on the developers in terms of like, just stop trying to shove next gen consoles down my throat. Just make Xbox 360 games.
Like, but it's, you know, it's a lot of stuff that are choices, that are made by people that are being treated as you know, forces of nature. They could mm-hmm. decide to do a bunch of stuff, but they don't.
So I would like to hear your marketing in the form of, look at the amazing wages we're paying our developers.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Let's try that marketing plan.
Yeah. Let's see.
while we're reading stories, I realized there was a whole slew of answers in Slack for the multiplayer that I forgot to put into Facebook.
I'm real sorry, folks. We had a bunch of
I only know it because for some reason this week there were like six of them.
Oh yeah.
However,
sorry,
there were also a lot in Facebook as well.
Yeah, it was an oversight. We're coming up on 10 o'clock here as of recording. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Fair enough.
If anybody wants to be mad at somebody, be mad at me. I said it when we hopped on mic today. I'm just out of juice. I'm out of juice.
No squeeze to juice. Juice.
Hey, Ben, keep the bad times rolling here.
Yeah, I got another small story that's like a little bit of sugar after this one. So hopefully it'll be a net neutral. But they're not going to port Midnight Suns to the Switch. So that's not happening. I can only assume it's performance issues, since all of Firaxis's games are pretty CPU intensive, and Switch don't got that. So
no,
Switch has performance problems.
Yeah. It's a six. Wait, are you making a sex joke there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. All right, yeah, if it would pick a lane, you know. So I was actually really surprised to hear that that was still in planning.
Yeah.
After Midnight Suns, you know, went over like a fart in an elevator sales wise.
Really?
I mean, that didn't sell. Good.
Yeah, I've heard very positive, almost exclusively positive things about that. I didn't look at sales.
Don't mean it sold.
Yeah. Everybody that I know who has played it has found something to really enjoy about it. The problem is just it didn't sell.
Maybe they should have spent $500 million in marketing on it, and maybe then it would have.
Then it would have worked.
Oh, you only spent $200 billion? So sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
Or $200 billion? So sorry.
Yeah.
$200 billion would be pretty. Yeah,
that would have done it.
Silver lining, though. Side story. This is a follow up from last week. The news that was released about Case of the Golden Idol. DLC is coming out. It's coming out in 2 days from when we're recording it, and it's 1 day before you're listening to it, if you listen to it on release day. So it'll be out.
I thought it was coming out last week.
I did too. That's what they said in the announcement, but I think that was just announcing that it would come out the next week. So
gotcha.
Ah, they announced the announcement.
Yeah, because otherwise I would have talked about it this week.
Is it, can we, like, there needs to be a word for an announcement of an announcement. That's too cumbersome.
It's like the trailer for a trailer that they do now.
A teaser?
Yeah.
No,
even teasers like are, at the that's too generous.
At the beginning of a trailer, they will show you a small version of the trailer that you're about to watch.
Jesus.
Have you not seen this? Can we
just call
it edging?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
An announcement?
I hate it.
an announce moat. It's a tiny little moat of an announcement.
Mm.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I am still excited to play that. I want more. I want more Golden Idol mysteries.
Yeah.
Or what have you. And the fact that they have thought to brand it that means that there at least is an intention for them to continue doing stuff like this.
Yeah, they're pulling a Knives Out situation, I guess.
Yeah. Anthologize it, baby. Very cool. David, you got a story?
Yeah, this is kind of just a thing you should check out. PolishPixels.com is a archive with videos and information on various Polish retro games, which I didn't even know is a thing.
Oh, cool. I only know of a couple. Is this like a blog or a database kind of deal?
It, Honestly, it looks like nothing so much as like a aughts era like website.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, and like it puts like creators like up front here.
Yep. Yep.
Huh. Road to Assland. What is Road to Assland?
Oh no! No! Don't click.
No, it looks like a body, like a body fantasy game for the Atari 8-bit. Huh.
Oh, I do kind of want to know what Poland makes for American poker.
You just shoot the place up.
Nice. Well, yeah, polishpixels.com. Go read about games. Sorry. I'm really liking some of their pun work here. Forest Dumb. as opposed, yeah. Huh. Neat. Amazing art on some of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I need to mouse away from this before I keep looking, because I'm just going to keep poking around, because this looks rad as hell.
This is what Cole's going to do instead of going to sleep after this.
No, I assure you, I'm going to fall asleep. I need to get my juice back. I'm out of juice. Mm-hmm. We're recording again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah. No, you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, how do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button.
Reluctant buttoning.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to level number 456. This will be the last time for 1,000 episodes that we're going to get sequential numbers like that. So,
hey.
Yeah,
that's not true.
If you want to help out the show, you know what you can do: patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can leave a rating or review. You can tell your friends. It's all good stuff. Is there anything like promo wise other folks want to get in?
May the 4th be with you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is coming out. They're going to do a whole thing. Yeah. Nice. Well, I've been Cole Ross. You can find me. Oh, how about this? If you have a Blue Sky invite, send it to me.
Oh yeah. I was looking at that.
Yeah. Not so much like for a FOMO point of view, but I just want to make sure I get my name. I don't want to have to do any bullshit. So if you got that, let me know.
If anyone has a Blue Sky invite, send it to me so I can steal Cole's name.
No! charge me money for it. I squatted my friend. Oh, man. But yeah, that's me. Hit me up with a Blue Sky.
That means I go now.
Yes.
No, so I have been Dennis Furia, and I know how this works. You can find me on the Deck of Wonders Discord.
I'm David Mysmith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. I only have one. I need to pull up the text editor. Sorry, I have too many things open. The one that I have is Illegal German Pies.
I support this.
Nice. Yes.
The only one I have is, are you making a sex joke?
Okay. I have The Poor Man's Ricky Gervais, and I love it because when written, you're not know if you're saying the poor man's Ricky Gervais or like the poor man's Ricky Gervais. Give him a break.
Oh. Okay.
I got nothing.
Okay. I like, are you making a sex joke? Mostly because I don't like Ricky Gervais. So I don't want to have that in the title. He's one of those. You can't make jokes anymore. Like gender critical.
The titles are bifurcated between Ricky Gervais and sex jokes. So,
hey, I very specifically was desexualizing the pie hole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why are they illegal? Why would you?
I'm going to say, we're lucky we're in the post roll. Otherwise, the title would be Desexualizing the Pie Hole.
All right. Okay. It is decided?
Sure.
It is decided.
If it's decided for you, then it's decided.
are you making a decision?
I mean, if we want. Yeah, okay.
Are you making a sex joke? Are you making a sex joke decision?
The show is over.
I'll